This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
D sharp and Esteban, how are you? I like the D sharp in your little thing there. I like
that. Yeah.
That's the key to playing and harmonic D sharp.
Yes. Well, that's one of our favorite tunings.
That's right.
Love it. It's great to have you both here. Dead by Wednesday is here.
Thanks for having us.
As you can see,
we're going to play some Kiss, huh?
Oh. Where's that humming coming from?
That's my mic.
Your mic's acting up?
Yeah.
Where'd you see Kiss there?
There we go. On his shirt.
Oh, yeah. Kiss on his shirt. I just thought that's right.
Yeah, Opus couldn't be here tonight. He had to work, but we streamed the last concert in Madison Square Garden for all old school Kiss fans. But I actually just long since I found it in my closet. I had it. I got it in 1996, the original reunion show.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, everybody that watches our show knows how diverse we can be. We went from alternative 90s to country to hard rock.
That's horrible.
Put you guys in the hard rock category.
There you go, hard rock.
Hard rock. You know, because if you start going into these other things, it's like it gets too pigeonholed. You guys,
I regret to tell you we don't have any Christmas songs for this year.
You don't
know. We can whip up a Silent Night.
Yeah.
Night. You got to do it with distortion, though.
And screaming.
Yeah.
Silent Night. Silent Night.
Is it Esteban? How do you know screaming and yell? You know, when you do your vocal in those parts, man, how have you conditioned your voice to not get broken or lost? What kind of exercise are you doing to not lose it?
I don't know if it's appropriate to go. I'm only kidding.
where was he going with that?
Yes,
it took that fast. No, honestly, it just took a lot of practice. It took I took lessons from Extreme Vocal Institute at Boston. I took some online courses as well, and it's like when I first started, I was like really like it. There's a science behind it. I don't want to bore anybody on it, but I really. When I first started, it was like hitting a brick wall. I would like be spitting up blood, and I was like, "Oh, I am definitely doing this wrong." Like I would be like, "How can these guys?"
Yeah, you can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, like I've been doing it now for probably like close to 20 years or so. So when my first year was like crash and burn, I was like, "How do these guys, you know, like these touring bands do this all the time and not blow out their vocals?" So I started talking to a few friends of mine. They pointed me in the right direction. I started harnessing how to be able to do it, you know, long-term. And it's like, once you learn the difference between true vocals and false vocals, it's kind of like when you scream like that, it's kind of weird. It's like kind of like how we primitively normally scream. Like humans have a roar. That's what your roar would be. It's the same thing. Like, you know, you hear a cat, you know, it's a meow, meow, meow. And then all of a sudden, when you piss it off, it just starts making these god-awful noises.
Stormy knows about that.
I'm sitting here right now fighting with him, putting a mic in, like, he's so destructive, this one. Lord.
Well, you know, there's a thing about when it's done right. The one thing I love about your band, that bands like yourselves do, is you could put in a clean melodic vocal and then mix it in with screaming, where some bands it's just all screaming and it takes it away. But when you blend them, the two together, it creates a nice palette, like a canvas.
Yeah.
For all the great,
I so agree with that
guitar work you're doing underneath. And it just blends so nicely. A perfect example of that is, perfect example of that, and I wanted to play a clip of it here, is a song you have. Where did my notes go? It's Here Comes the Dead. And I just love it's on Capital Conspiracy, and it's track three. I want to play this segment here just to showcase what I'm talking about with your band, because this is what makes it special. It's different. So let's do that. I'm going to hit mute on everyone here, and we're going to nerd out to some. Let me get the. Let me reshare the screen to get a fresh screen up. And I think it's right here. There it is. All right. So what we're going to do here is play this song here. And again, you heard what I was talking about. I said that it had to do with clean vocals and then rough vocals and how it creates a picture. And so this is it right here. Let's listen to this. 26 seconds in, and hopefully I don't buffer here. Hear what I'm talking about? That is exactly how it's done right there, is that beautiful melodic vocal you have, Esteban. Then boom, hit you in the face with it.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, what a voice.
Thanks, Dad.
Is that hard to do live? Like, come out of that back and forth?
I mean, we've done it. I mean, so many times now, it's really not. Well, we really try to do, especially like, because there's a lot of songs you hear that has like overlapping vocals and screams and stuff like that that kind of go in and out. What we've tried to do is build our songs so then that way what I'm doing in the track is what I'm going to do live. So it's not difficult per se. I mean, now my first year it would have been horrific, but yeah, difficult now. It's not that bad. What's more difficult is catching my breath. Right. I'm in my 40s now, man.
Well, the interesting thing about that track is that originally, I think you recorded that an octave up, didn't you, Esteban?
I did. I initially recorded it an octave up, and then what happened was that when we had retuned the guitars, the original octave I sang it in, it was out of key with the guitar, so I then had to sing the octave down. If not, I would have had to go on even further up, which would have been out of my range.
Wow. Well, and the D sharp is really for Dave Sharp. He's the guitar player sitting there. And one of the things that we love is riffs. That's a killer riff, man.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, the thing about that one song too is like we wrote that in one session in the band room. I just started messing around with that guitar riff, and then Opus kicked the beat, and then we just started vamping on that. So, you know, like boom, done. I wish it all happened that easy, you know.
Well, I love what I love.
Those are always the best songs.
Yes,
the ones that just pop like that.
Well, in your riff there, what I love about it is it did it, and you go like you hold that little note right there. Oh, that's that whole. Like you're suspended in air moment right there with your guitar. I love that.
Yeah, song. I try to do like a slow bend where it's almost just like a quarter of like a.
So Esteban, when these guys come up, like, how is the writing process happen with you guys? Are you the lyric writer, Esteban?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably like. I mean, three quarters of it. I mean, these guys come up with great stuff too. So it's like I get all their input. Anything they give me, I try to throw in as much as I can. And normally our writing process, Dave is a fucking, I don't know if I'm supposed to swear or not.
Oh, you're good.
Okay, cool. Dave is a fucking riff writing machine. And Dave will just sit there and just start riffing something. Like at least once each practice, Dave will just be noodling off something. And all of a sudden, I turn around. I just got this smelly fart face. Like, oh,
what was that?
You know, so it's like, it's not. And what's cool is that all of us, how we groove, is that everybody's, yeah, it's really far
fetched.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
That's it right there.
That lazy note that note in Here Comes the Dead is like, oh, you know? So,
yeah.
But yeah, what's cool is that everybody's kind of got a groove, and Dave normally starts shredding away some riffs, and Opus is like a groove machine. Opus just finds whatever groove that Dave's working in, and he just locks us in. And then from there, we normally build on that. Sometimes we start building it piece by piece. We'll build a chorus with lyrics and stuff like that and such. Or sometimes these guys will kick a whole song to me and they'll just say, hey, write lyrics to this too. So it all depends.
And the funny thing is that, you know, in my head, I'm like a technical person. So like, I'll hear this like crazy, like beat with double bass or fast. And then Opus will always do like the exact opposite of what I hear in my head. And at first, I'm kind of like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, I'm like, and then I get it. It clicks. It's like, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Has there been a moment where you made the smelly fart face and Dave goes, oh, you really like that? He goes, no, I really farted.
We've ripped some bad ones, but not on stage.
Prop dusting each other on stage.
You usually wait for the first song and everybody starts getting into it and you're just like, what is going on?
Where's Dean? We need Dean for this conversation.
We gotta stop. Right?
We clear the studio.
Right. Yeah, Esteban's like turkey burgers. It was dick.
Ketchup and onions.
That's when you know you're tight as a band, when you can identify what you guys eat.
Your voice has changed, but your breath still smells the same. Kind of.
I already know. Dave, it's some kind of meat. Opus, it's cheese and carbs. And then Mike, it's some kind of fish. I already got the flavors.
Oh my gosh.
Dead Man Wednesday just took on a whole new meaning. But that's the one thing, and I'm sure you guys are like this. If I was in a touring band, the number one thing I would never do is eat before the show. At least 8 hours before the show.
Because I'd be scared to death. You gotta have some kind of energy.
You'd all die.
Right?
3 hours before a show, like, imagine your stomach starts bothering you and you gotta do a whole set.
If we get cut before the show, if they like bring it in, it's literally always like they get ready like a half an hour before we go on, and it crushes Opus because he can definitely not eat before he goes on. So he tries to wait, but we're so hungry by the time we go on. I think that's why he plays a little faster. He's like, I can't wait to get the hell off stage.
Why is the tempo so high?
That'd be my greatest fear, is that I have a stomach issue during like the second song. Yeah. And you got like 8 songs to go. Oh my God. I'd be dying.
No, I've had to take a piss like the second song in.
Well, can't you do one of those? Like, Dave, do a long solo. I'm going to go run in the back real quick.
Some interesting stage performances, though, huh?
We'll get sponsored by Depends, and we'll just let it
happen. Right?
I wear a kilt now on stage, so it's kind of easy if I just ran off real quick. Or just,
I saw one of your guys, or more than a few videos on Instagram, and I seen your kilt.
Yeah, that kind of took effect after Europe, so I just stuck with it.
Hey.
It keeps it nice and cool while you're playing.
Hey. I'm telling you, man, people are onto this skirt thing.
The highlights when I run over and I pull it up like mid-song.
Yeah.
He always does it at least once.
Well, you can't do one of those things, too, where you're like your one foot's on the monitor up in the air.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. The front row gets all of it.
Well, now you got your Christmas song Jingle Bells.
Silver Bells.
Silver Bells.
All right. Well, there you go. A whole Christmas album to the kilts. All right. Well, let's get back to the serious stuff. The music. Actually, your music is very serious. This isn't. I equate it to what I used to feel about System of a Down and their prime on their theming of the songs, where they were writing about current events or just things going on. You really are in that wheelhouse, right? Like you're just affected by current events, things going on in the world. I think even in your first album, the previous album is called Democracy is Dead. So there's a whole.
That was the first album that kicked off the band. And then the previous album was a self-titled album. I want to say Eponymous.
The eponymous record. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then came here Capital Conspiracy.
Yeah, you know, actually, the first song that we wrote with Esteban like 3 years ago was more like a rocker kind of song. And then the second song was more about current events, you know, about what was going on socially. And we just decided, hey, this is like the perfect timing to put this out. It's right 3 or 4 months after COVID really, you know, put us all in lockdown and people started losing their minds and the current state of affairs. So like it really went hand in hand with what we were all kind of going through. So.
Well, if you look at your track listing too on Capital Conspiracy, I mean, my notes were the mid part where it really started to hit me, like Here Comes the Dead and then The Wake. That song is incredible. In fact, there's a moment I wanted to play in that one too. And then we'll talk about it because I want people to hear this first. All right, so let me hit mute again on us and then we'll talk about it here. This is Wake. There's not really a video per se for this song. It's just album artwork, but it's just listen to the song and then we'll discuss it like they used to do in school, discuss things open-mindedly. We're going to do that right now. The Wake, 149. All right, so first off, I think this is where you learn that Dave can shred.
Yes.
Holy smokes, dude.
Hey, wow.
Your fingers are moving.
That's my favorite track in the album. I wonder why.
Wow.
That's one of the, see, that's the song, Esteban, that you could go run to the restroom real quick.
You still got him muted. Oh, there you go.
I made it now. You could actually run to the restroom at that point during that whole lead.
Actually, this other song, SOS, his lead there, his pre-lead and his lead after that is actually longer than The Wake. But yeah, but every one of Dave's leads are just like, oh, the face again. Oh,
yeah.
They're just so good. So good.
I love the drum beat on that, man. It was like joom, pa, joom, pa. Like, and then the double bass kick in. That was really different, you know. Like,
yeah. That's one thing we're really blessed with, an awesome rhythm section between like the OGs of Mike and Opus. Between the two of them, like I said, Opus is just a groove master. Like you said, Dave like has this idea in his head of like, you know, these fast drums going on and stuff, and then Opus just locks us into this groove, and then Mike. Him and Mike just take it away with the rhythm section, man. That whole part in that song specifically, the way boo, da-doom, boom, it's just, it hits so hard. Love it.
So Dave, when you're, do you come up with the guitar part and then Opus listens to it with Mike and then that's how it comes together?
Yeah, we write a couple different ways. I mean, sometimes, especially like during the COVID years, like I would just come up with some riffs. I'd lay them down. I got Pro Tools at my house. I come up with like a rough demo. And I mean, that's a great thing about technology these days. I mean, I can just write something, record a spot to a click track, and I can just shoot it off to the guys. And then Steve has the same type of software he can add on to it. I mean, we recorded, to be honest, like probably 80% of this at home in each of our individual houses. I mean, we did the drums live in the studio, but everything else is done at home. We DI'd the guitars and re-ran it in the studio. And then Esteban did new vocals at his house. But I mean, probably like 50% I write and I send to the guys, and then 50% we're just jamming in the rehearsal room and we come up with on the spot.
You guys live all close together?
Relatively. I mean, the furthest that lives away is Opus and Dave, if you want to put like linear distance, but we all live in the same state. We all live within, you know, an hour and a half of each other.
Okay.
Well, you guys are, you can feel the chemistry and stuff. And man, what a riff that is. Now,
Riff Master.
That's what I gotta say. We've all been in bands for years, and it's always seemed like there's like one missing link. You know, it's like you just have kind of like a body in the band. The guy that just shows up doesn't really contribute, but you know, you need somebody. This is like the first band I've been in. We can actually just say it's a band. I mean, everybody contributes. Everyone's got an opinion, right, wrong, or indifferent. We agree to disagree, but we agree on more than we disagree, and it all gels together. Our stage chemistry, you'll see in a performance. There's everything about it. I mean, it all works. You know, I think about the amount of years it took to get to this point, but it's like I wouldn't trade anything for it. It's
awesome. We all know it's all about the music. It's what it comes down to, no matter what.
Darn right it is.
Well, no matter what our difference, like Dave said, no matter what our differences are, no matter what anybody's going on in your personal lives, when it comes on stage, it's like that's what brought us together, and that's we live for it and we die for it.
Marriage.
Well, then you're crammed into a van, right? Touring different places.
There's the fart face.
Hey, what were the numbers for Europe?
Yeah, I think we did 92 hours traveling in 15 days, and we did go to Europe for this year.
Wow.
Oof. In a van. No, but in a big, like an Econoline type van or something small? Yeah.
Like a Sprinter van. We got just enough gear crammed in the back, and I think we were like 3-3-2 for bodies.
But who drove?
Yeah.
Who drove?
We got like a package with one of our European managers, so he was able
cool.
to this van, and we took turns though.
Who's the worst driver? Like the one you couldn't sleep because he was driving.
He's got a. This one's like,
yeah. I'm not saying a word.
You didn't have to. We already know.
No, honestly, though, it may have been like, so quick 2-second story. It may have been because Dave was driving at the time, but we were cruising down the highway in Germany. And I had like just nestled in to like take a nap and go to sleep. And you know, when you're like right in REM sleep, something happened in the opposite lane that there was such an accident that hit so loud it sounded like an explosion.
Yeah, it to be honest, it rattled me. It was the first time I was driving. I was about an hour in after like 3 a.m. And so it was the Autobahn. Somebody was ripping down. I got probably in miles per hour, probably like gotta be doing like 160, and they came upon a car that was probably not even, there was like traffic, just rear-ended the car. It exploded. I could see it was like 100 yards from me. It was crazy.
Loudest. Oh my gosh.
And you knew there was a fatality. And I mean, just to see that, I'm like, this is what I have to drive. I have to drive for the next 14 days and deal with this. Yeah.
It was eye-opening for sure.
Was somebody being in that fast lane that's never been there?
I think all the traffic had slowed down. I think the person that was speeding, it came around a kind of a corner or something. They just had no time to react. It was just instant.
A lot of traffic in Europe, when it piles up, it's just like there's no warning about it. They don't have like signs like the way we do. It's just you see brake lights and it's like, Bam.
Yeah.
It breaks for a second and like the loudest explosion and just like smoke and fire immediately. And it was just like, oh my God, I got like a 7-hour drive ahead of me and this is what happens here.
Oh boy.
It was brutal, scary.
You know? That was gnarly.
At least it wasn't you.
Yeah. But I guess I'll tell you what, I was awake after that.
For days, probably.
Near death experiences, right? Like, you'll be like, I'm so freaking tired. And then something scares you half to death. And you're like, oh, I'm awake. There's no caffeine in the world that's stronger than that feeling. Like,
you're oh, yeah. Adrenaline.
I forget. I think we did like seven countries in 15 days.
Wow.
You're moving a lot.
Wow.
You're cruising.
You were cruising, all right. Yeah, let me tell you. Well, and I'm sorry, you know, I went a little late on the other interview, so I'm keeping That's you fine. Guys a little bit too, to make sure that we're getting your stuff out there. You, since you brought up SOS, I have that queued up too. Since, you know, Esteban's like, well, what about me? I'm a singer, but. We're going to get to you in Wasteland because I love that here, but I had to, the thing too, that I love that you did about SOS is it's also in Espanol.
Nice. It's
so cool.
I did. It was like it was a snap idea. I was like, because the way the group, I tell you, these guys in the group, I was just like, it sounds kind of Latino. So I'm going to go back to my roots with it. And that's what I did.
Well, I can actually learn Spanish because of you.
Subtitle.
Don't know what we're saying, but we can sing it, right?
Well, no, it's a lyric video. So, like, with the English word is the Spanish word. And, like, in some of the verses, you're singing in Spanish, putting the English word underneath it, and then you'll switch and go to English with the Spanish word underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. That's like Puya. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they all kind of fit.
We had Puya on the show.
Yeah.
We toured with them. We did a tour with them a year ago.
They're awesome.
A year ago, yeah. Great.
Well, it was funny because Elias from Nonpoint was a huge Puya. We had Elias on, and I got to play for him what Puya had to say about him, and he was just like a little kid. Yeah. It was so funny. So, well, I'm glad you did it because it's so cool. So let me pull that up here for everybody. This again is, we're talking to Dead by Wednesday. This song is SOS. So let's play a little bit of this here. And just pay attention to the lyric video. I think it's very clever. I'm going to go back a little bit just so you can see how they do this. Doing it justice too. Let me go back because I want to show how they did. Get the idea that there were parts in there where they blended the lyrics together. It was just awesome to watch, and boy, D sharp, man. Holy smokes.
Wow.
I love that fucking song.
You know what's the most important though? I get to speak Spanish in a song too, and we do it live. I say uno dos.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All the Latinos in the room are like, oh, this guy knows how to say more than just tacos.
Cabeza.
Nice one.
That's great. That's... It looks Spanglish.
Yeah. You know that, but man, I just love that.
I do too. Yeah.
Shredding. Oh, well, let's get into the other song here too. It's Wasteland. This is the one that you just put out a video for, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately it took over a year cause we had a bunch of footage, but a couple things, some of it wasn't, it was a little shaky, but also we were in a desert for 3 days. So some of the film, like the lenses and stuff, were a little dusty as well. It was a little hard to shoot, but you know, it was worth the wait. It came out great.
It kind of, your costumes, it's like a stripped down version of like what Gore would do.
Yeah. You know, Wasteland Weekend, it's a post-apocalyptic.
Isn't that what Gore is basically? Gore was like that, right?
Yeah, I like to say we're a little bit more handsome than they are, but
oh yeah,
they're like more mythological.
Well, I don't know how they played in those costumes, really. I mean, I don't know how they did that.
But the good thing is they can walk the streets and they wouldn't get recognized.
No,
I'll be honest. As a kid, my favorite Motley Crue album was "Shout the Devil," so I was really just invoking my inner Motley Crue in the.
Right on.
You know who Stormy is, right?
Stormy
deal right above you. Do you know who she is?
It's hard for me to actually see, to be honest.
Okay. Well, Stormy's dad is Mick Mars.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. There you go. No,
that's awesome. Yeah.
I was trying to emulate my inner Mick Mars in the video.
You can do that. 13-13
video, to be honest. That's why I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. Have you heard of
you gotta check. You got to check out his solo stuff that's coming
Loyal
out.
To the Lie.
Yeah.
He's got two songs out right now, I think. They're amazing.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I did read that he was putting some solo stuff out. Yeah, to be honest, just my opinion, I'm not happy about what the whole. I only see Motley Crue with Mick Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout Out the Devil. So Shout Out the Devil is one of your favorite albums?
It's a major influence for me. Yeah. Just aesthetically, musically, the way it sounds, it just rips, man. It's my favorite album.
I agree.
Yeah.
Do you know that whole beginning in the beginning? You know that whole beginning?
Yeah, sick.
Do you know his voice that is?
I thought that was a producer that did it.
No, it's
Mick. No, they said it was Keith like on the outside, but no, that was Pop that did that.
I was right there. Mm-hmm. So now you know Mick Mars is doing that whole
thing. I have all the background here. Tell your dad to give me a call.
Yeah.
He's a real guitar, so I'll help him out.
You never know. You never know what he's gonna do.
For me, just so you know that Dave, why that I didn't have metal music in the house. We grew up very religious, right?
Yeah.
But when that song, so I was listening to the top 100 countdown at the end of the year. It's kind of nostalgic because they used to do that all the time. At the end of the year, they play the top 100 songs of the year on the radio. Yeah. So yeah, like that. And all of a sudden I'm laying in bed in my room with my headphones on and I hear the bad, bada 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 bada. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
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 And I went, what is this? And I had to get it. I had somebody. And so that changed my whole thing was that. So I get it.
It definitely changed my life for sure, man.
What was yours, Esteban? What was the album that did it for you or band?
Queen is my favorite band.
Queen?
Yeah. I love Queen. Everything about Queen, everything about Freddie Mercury. I love the artistry of it. I love how all of them, like, do their own thing. Did their own thing. And it was like, it's kind of like us. And we all just kind of come together and make this hodgepodge of music. You know what I mean? I just like how their artistry, their message to the world. It was just my thing. Queen was always my favorite, my jam.
What was the song for you that just was like, of all of them, that hit you?
Who Wants to Live Forever?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That's my number one favorite song ever of all time.
Of all time?
Ever.
Wow.
Personally. And it was like on a whim, because when I was a kid, it was like, well, I was, you know, a young preteen at the time, and Highlander I came out, and I like saw that part where like you hear like the organ, like, woo, 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 and like you see like Sarah coming or Heather coming over the hill, and you're just like, oh man, who's singing that? And I'm like, and I dove into like who was singing that, and I just started going down a discography of Queen, and I'm like, holy shit, this band is awesome.
Oh, that's that is a good story.
Incredible how that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, well, that is me. For me, it was We Are the Champions.
Oh, nice.
And it gets me every single time. Yeah. And Play the Game is another one. I think that
plays a little thing called love.
This thing called love.
Yeah.
Sorry. Can't handle it.
We should do karaoke one night, Stormy.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah,
good. Well, let's.
That one and Don't Stop Me Now. Those, they're kind of like neck. Don't Stop Me Now. I really, I'm into it.
Have you ever seen, talk about goosebumps. Have you ever seen the Green Day footage before they take the stage and they play Bohemian Rhapsody to the crowd at Hyde Park in England? And it's like 20,000, like 50,000 people in the field. And they're singing Bohemian Rhapsody at the top of their lungs, like all 50,000 people.
And they're all in time. Oh, everything's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Getting back to the whole bringing people together. Yeah. When you're bringing people together in that crowd, no one cares what they believe, who they are, what color they are, what religion they are.
Singing together.
Everybody just singing at one. Love it. And now we're going to go into a wasteland. Right now. Nice quiet, right?
Yeah. Five minutes of peace to a wasteland. 5 minutes of peace,
and now we're in a wasteland here. And this this video is so cool. It's that let me not get the echo back here. What was that movie? Oh, it's like End of the World thing. Like Kurt Russell was in it. Oh,
Escape to New York, that one?
No. There was like this.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. That's,
Yeah, I know Escape from New York was one, but.
Yeah, in L.A.
It was like end of the world stuff. Anyway, Wasteland is kind of like that. It just reminds me of it.
For sure.
And you'll see why. So here we go. I'm going to hit the audio button again. This is Wasteland, really awesome video. Do I have a mute on everyone? I don't. Dave, there we go. Okay, do I got that clicked? I do. All right, here we go. I think we're ready. Here we go. Just looks like an awesome video to put together. Getting people in there. They probably loved that gig showing up there. What do you think?
Yeah.
Fun to me.
You're probably thinking of Mad Max, right?
That's, Mad Max. Yeah, I was thinking of
That's Mel Gibson, yeah.
That's it.
Mel Gibson, thank you.
Yeah, that was the whole theme of the Wasteland Weekend. It's the, like a Mad Max. They have a Thunderdome there as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you look in the video, Dave's climbing it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Look through the video. There's a video of Dave and Opus climbing it.
What was that like experience like, Dave?
You know, you can actually sign up the fight inside of it. I just didn't want to sign the waiver because I wasn't sure what I was going to do to somebody.
But, you going to fight Opus?
Yeah. we had to play a set that night, though, so, you know.
Save it for the stage so you get more tickets.
No, we did. We played in front of probably got to be close to 2,000 people that night, too. Wow. It was wicked. Wow. It was a fun time, for sure.
But that video looked like a lot of fun to do. Middle of desert.
You know, spoiler, one of my friends was like, dude, that looks like an expensive video. Like, as if we set the whole thing up ourselves, just like the whole scene, just for that. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was an amazing experience all weekend. Just being there with the people, being kind of like in the middle of the desert. Like, just so you know, just to have like kind of context of it, you take a main road and then you turn off of it and then you drive down this side desert road for how long, Dave? Maybe 25 minutes?
Yeah, it was in the middle, literally the middle of the desert.
Wow.
It was crazy.
And then, you go out there, it's nothing but generators. It's all ran by generators. Oof. Middle of nowhere.
The drummers out there were like amazing too. I mean, it was just a all night music and you just meet the greatest people out there. You bring a bottle, all the bars are open bar. So if you just contribute a bottle and they make drinks for you everywhere. They have little clubs set up. I mean,
that's amazing.
What's the name of your cat?
Luna. I just adopted her this year.
There you go.
So I took her name. Luna Tuna was her original name. There's a meme out there about guys that have cats named Luna. So that's not me.
Nothing wrong with the kitty.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, you guys have kick-ass music, and I love the video.
Absolutely, guys.
When you got new music, please come back.
Thank you. And the best part of the interview is every time you played a song, it had a guitar solo in it.
It did.
Oh yeah,
hell yeah.
I love that one on Wasteland too, because you play it. You know, you're not necessarily playing fast. You're just playing like good, like. You know, like,
yeah, no, I'm glad you pointed that out. You know, I just tried to be a little tasteful, kind of harmonizer on it. I just figured, you know, it's not, you know, there's a time to shred, there's a time to sit back and just be,
yeah, you know? That's good when a guitarist knows, you know, when to do that.
Awesome. Mick Mars, he's the master at that. He can shred.
Absolutely
put the stank on it,
yeah.
One of those things, like, I'll just add another feather for Dave that I like is right after like coming out of the solo, there's a nice little like da 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 da. I'm like, ah, the way Dave knows how to also do the solos and feather on those like intricate just accents, it's dope.
Like to connect it to the outro verse or whatever.
You know? It really does marry the rhythm. It marries everything together. Those little accents you do. So once again, Dave, kudos.
Thank you, man. I love the vocals on it. So we got a bromance going here.
You better.
Does his self hugs, right?
You don't have fist fights on stage.
No, never on stage.
Have you ever seen those
each other?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that one where there's like this terrible band? They're doing a song, and the singer just comes over, punches the guitarist, like young guys in a band. Yeah,
that's a YouTube video.
It's a YouTube video. Like they're playing. Was it Final Countdown or something?
I don't remember what the song was.
These guys trying to do the lead, and it's terrible. And the singer just comes over.
Jesus Christ!
You see, one reason where a guy do like the singer dives over the drum set, and knocks the guy down, the whole drum set falls apart. That was
I saw that one.
No, my favorite too are the ones that the people that tried to do the flip the guitar around the back.
Oh, that happens. Oh, they
pull themselves down.
Oh, that or it goes flying and smashes into a million pieces, and you see the guitarist go.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Dave's not flipping guitars around his back.
Oh my god, I want to so bad, but I know that's gonna happen.
Yeah. You gotta reinforce that strap.
It gets expensive.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you guys for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Pleasure, guys.
Have a great time.
Good night, everyone that was watching and listening to this later. Thank you, Grizz, Stormy. Good night.
Merry good night, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much.